Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so excited to have you all here with us this morning, and we are just absolutely honored that you guys have chosen to come and worship with us. We're going to kick off this morning with a song called Desert Song, so if y'all would stand up and worship with us. We'd like for you to clap your hands. We'd like for you to raise your hand. We'd like for you to get as involved as possible in worshiping Christ through music with us this morning. This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness and trial or pain. There is a faith proved of more worth than gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare. He is my victory and he is here. This is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror, co-heir with Christ, so firm on his promise I'll stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship.
One more time.
All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. I will bring praise. Will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare. God won the victory and he is here. I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare. Is my victory and he is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. To be emptied again, the seed I've received, I will sow. Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Grace now. Lift your voices.
You paid my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah, how can it be?
This time you may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward for children's moments, and also Paxton Byers to come up and read for us our psalm during this season of Lent when we're traveling the road with Jesus toward the cross. We are also going to be listening to psalms, those songs that were sung by pilgrims as they made their way toward Jerusalem. And so Paxton is sharing one of those with us this morning.
Mm-hmm. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Though I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up in my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
Good morning. It's nice to see you all here. Do you know what season this is in the Christian church? Lent. Very good. Very good. Lent is a time when Christians prepare for the holiest time of our year, which is Easter time. Lent lasts for 40 days. Sometimes people celebrate Lent by giving up something they like, or fasting, or praying more often, or sometimes we do extra things that we don't normally do, like think about, it's Lent, what can I do for my neighbor that's hurting, or what act of kindness can I do for someone else? Those are special things that we do in Lent to keep us close to Jesus. So I looked up the meaning of the word Lent, and it means slow down, Do you think that is because we need to slow down a little bit and remember to think of Jesus more often? So try this. Clap, get your hands together and clap, clap, clap as fast as you can. Fast as you can. Fast. Now while you're doing it as fast as you can, try to take a big breath while you're clapping fast. Keep on clapping fast. Now try to take a big breath and say, thank you, Jesus. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Okay, slower. Let's go a little slower, a little slower. Keep clapping, but slower. Slow it down. Now while you're clapping slowly, can you take a big breath? And now say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a little easier. It's a little easier when we slow down. So that's something to remember about Lent. I'm going to ask you another question. Since we're talking about remembering with Lent, do you know what a reminder is? Has anybody ever reminded you to do something? Like your mom might say, remind me, we've got to do that tonight after work or school. Or remind me to get up early tomorrow morning because we've got to stop at the grocery store before work or school. Or remind me that I haven't. Have y'all ever had somebody ask you to remind them of something? You have, good. So I have a reminder. Sometimes you might put reminders in your cell phone, but I know that I was a little girl long before cell phones, long before. And my mom was a good list maker, but sometimes she'd forget her list or I'd forget my list. And so what we would do is we would put a rubber band around our finger. And when we left the house, if we looked down at that rubber band, it'd be like, oh, I remember now. My mom wanted me to put this rubber band around my finger today so that instead of stopping at the park when I walk home from school or something like that, I would hurry home because I needed to go to the doctor or do something at home. So it would be a reminder, and I could look down, and I would always remember that rubber band means I have something different to do today. And so I have a reminder on my wrist today. Can y'all tell me what those letters are?
WWJD.
That is what would Jesus do? So this is a little reminder, and I've already used it today. I was kind of thinking about something, and I thought, that is not what Jesus would do. So I'm going to continue to wear this through Lent and maybe afterwards, and I have one for all of you so that when you look down at your wrist, you might think, oh, yes, it's Lent, and I'm going to remember what would Jesus do, especially when I'm having to make a decision or a choice. So let's pray together. Dear God, during this season of Lent, help us slow down and think of Jesus more often and how he wants us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Heavenly Father, let's bow our heads and pray. Sorry. I'm a little flustered right now. I apologize, guys. We're going to get it together now. How about we do that? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning together. God, thank you for bringing all of us here today. We ask that you continue to bless us with health. We ask that you continue to grow our relationships with one another and to work your will through our fellowship and our friendships and the relationships that we make in here. God, we know that this church is special, and we know that there are so many big things that we can do if we just close our eyes and we open our hearts and we listen for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes rise above the waves. Oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, oh. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, I'll rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Could you stand and sing with us during this song? This song is so powerful. Close your eyes and lift your voices to God this morning.
Precious Lord, you are yours. We are yours, and you are ours. And in this moment of worship and praise, we open our hearts and minds to all that you have to say to us this day. Through song and scripture and prayer, And through the great act of the sacrament of Holy Communion, speak to us now. Speak to us above the roaring sound in our minds and hearts. Let us hear you and rejoice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as you know, Brother Nick is up in Rogers with the youth at a conference event called Veritas, a three-day retreat. Not so much a retreat of quiet and solitude as a retreat of music and preaching and a whole lot of fellowship, and I doubt that they've had much sleep, and we need to pray for them as they drive home this afternoon, that they arrive safe and sound. We've got Steve Fisher with them and also Amber Hoff and a house full of youth, and so we are blessed today, truly blessed. And Brother Tom is preaching in the sanctuary, and I promise you I'll not be hurt. My feelings won't be hurt. I have no ego. If some of you get up in the middle and wander over there, it may be the time to do that today. So with that said, hear now these words of Scripture. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The Scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him up to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the Scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, perhaps this has happened to you. I was gone for only a few hours, went out to dinner with some friends this week, and when I arrived home, I discovered that every door of the house was locked, including the door from the garage into the house. I didn't take my keys because we never locked that door. So I knocked on the door, and I heard a little voice putting on his best imitation of a monster. "Who are you?" Well, I knew who it was, and I tried to think of an answer that would be funny, but I was tired, and it had been a long day, and I stuttered, and I stammered, and finally he said, "Okay, you can come in," and he opened the door. Now, our gospel reading this morning invites us to watch Jesus as he too struggles to answer that same question. Question, who are you? Now, it may help us to remember that just a few verses before this, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. As Matthew tells it, Jesus went down into the water, and as he rose up, the heavens opened before him. A dove came down from the heaven and lighted upon him. And a voice was heard that we can assume not just Jesus heard, but everyone there, saying, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." And then this same spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. Imagine that. No party, no great cake or baptismal gifts. Oh no, not for Jesus. He immediately was led into the wilderness to fast, to pray, and to meet with the adversary. Now, most scholars believe that out in the wilderness, away from distractions, spending his days and nights fasting and praying, Jesus was figuring out what it means to be the Son of God, the one who gives God great joy. It shouldn't surprise us, really, that Jesus needed to understand his identity before he began his public ministry. And it shouldn't surprise us that with the leading of the Holy Spirit, he ended up in the wilderness, that is, a deserted place, a place where there weren't a lot of people around. And I've been to Israel, so I can tell you it would have been a rocky place and a place without water, because wherever there is water, there's a settlement. So there he was, like his ancestors before him. Jesus was led there by God. And like his ancestors before him, Jesus was led there to be confronted and also comforted by God. And like his ancestors before him, out there in the wilderness where there is nothing, Jesus would learn to trust God and worship God and allow God to be God in his life while he was out there in the wilderness. Now, you know this story. You remember from Exodus that as soon as the last Hebrew slave had passed across the muddy bottom of the Red Sea, the Spirit of God allowed the waters to rush in from behind and moved around to the front of the pack. And where did they go, these free Israelites? Well, the Spirit led them into the wilderness, where they would wander for 40 years, learning to trust God, learning to worship God, learning to allow God to be God in their lives. The difference is that while the Israelites didn't quite get it and would continue to struggle, Jesus learned the lesson well. The Israelites didn't seem to know quite how to be God's chosen ones. So they murmured out there in the wilderness. They questioned God's intentions. They complained about manna. And in the end, they wanted gods that they could see and touch and feel and carry with them like everybody else had. They never really understood. And before we condemn them too quickly, you and I probably should admit that we're right there with them. Whenever they were asked, "Who are you?" the Israelites would stutter and stammer. Because the truth is, it is not easy to be beloved children of God. It's hard to be one of the chosen ones. After all, if we claim such things for ourselves, don't we have to live up to those claims? Now, for me, in some ways, that is what Lent is all about. This is the season when we are challenged to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, or at least to be followers of Jesus who allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. We're asked for 40 days, 40 whole days to live mindfully in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to lay aside things that get in the way of our following, or to take something on that will help us to see better. If Lent is anything, it is our 40-day journey into the wilderness with Jesus to imagine what it means to be children of God and to hear for ourselves, each of us, the word of the Lord that comes to us and says, you bring me great joy, just as you are. You bring me great joy, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are the ones for whom Christ died. Who are you? It never seems like we have the answer at the ready. And that's why we continue to need Lent. Author Mary Gordon says, one of the rarest of human achievements is to be so sure of oneself that we can resist the temptation to prove our worth to someone else. Hear that again. One of the rarest human achievements is that we can resist the temptation to prove our worth to someone else. We don't have to prove that we are effective. We don't have to prove that we are beloved. We don't have to try on authority for size or to top it off with glory, even though authority and glory are the surest signs of our worth. God has already claimed us worthy. God has already given us authority. And every time we bow before him, we are as close to glory, my friends, as we will ever be. Here in the wilderness, Jesus is tempted to prove that he is the Son of God by changing stones to bread. Here he is challenged to place himself at the pinnacle of the world as the ruler of all that is here in the wilderness. He is tempted to prove that he is the beloved while putting himself at risk. Yet in the wilderness, Jesus resisted the temptation. He remembered who he was. He knew he had nothing to prove because he is the Son of God with whom God is well pleased. That one that brings God's great joy. Now, every year for the 30-some years that I've been in active ministry, someone has asked me, why do we do Lent? It's such a downer. We ask people to fast and pray. We ask people to give things up. We ask people to come to church more often. And aren't we all too busy for that? Don't we have enough to do? Rather than all this navel-gazing and soul-searching. But if you need an answer, here it is in the gospel story. Every year we do Lent because the Spirit leads us to Lent. The very Spirit that whispers us into being. The very Spirit that calls us by name. The Spirit who's present at our baptisms. The Spirit who intercedes for us with sighs that are too deep for words. That Spirit draws us into Lent. Invites us to experience with Jesus the wilderness. Do you not sometimes feel kind of an emptiness? Somewhere between here and here. It's not painful, really. But it does feel like a space that's not really meant to be there. The Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor says, that is the Holy of Holies in all of us. That space. St. Augustine called it the God-shaped hole. John Wesley called it the stamp of the image of God in us all. It's there. It's there. And Lent is the time when we can unclutter the throne of that Holy of Holies. We can shine up the mirror of that stamp of God's image on us. We can begin to shape that hole for God to come in. For you see, there is nothing on earth that can fill that space. Nothing at all, though we try. We try all sorts of pacifiers that we quickly put in our mouths and suck on them, as Barbara Brown Taylor says. We suck on them for all we're worth. There's no nourishment. But they do seem to plug the hole for a while. I can't name your pacifiers, but I can name some of mine. Too much food, too many distractions that are meaningless, like the times when I absolutely veg out in front of the TV or watch another video on YouTube about something that I really don't care about at all, or I binge watch Netflix, or I isolate because I'm tired. Like I said, I can't name yours, but I can name mine. Today, we stand at the threshold of the wilderness with the Spirit gently wooing us there, or go ahead and admit it, the Spirit may be behind you, pushing you over the boundary that you have set in your life. Go into that wilderness. Yeah, it's work, but you will never be there by yourself. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And the word of God will comfort you. And the power of salvation already at work within you will shape you and mold you and transform you and fill that space with the presence and the power of God, which, my friends, is the only thing that will ever, ever fill it. Who are you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him or want to love him. All who are ready and willing or wondering how to confess him as their Savior. All who are hungry enough to want bread for the journey. So let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in his heavenly comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as beloved children of God, those with whom God is well pleased, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'd invite those who will be assisting with serving communion to come forward. We will be receiving bread and then a small cup of juice, and you can consume it as you stand before the table today, or you can take it to the chancel rail where you'll be able to kneel and pray.
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open. Thank you.
I think you all want to thank our praise band today. We're so grateful to Jen Schimmer for pulling it together with Caleb out of town, especially since between people out of town and illnesses, we had to pull in a friend from Cabot to be our lead guitarist. Bobby, thank you so much for being here with us today and helping to lead worship. It was a blessing. Thank you. Now receive this benediction. Let us go forth to love and serve God in all that we do and to follow the Holy Spirit, so that this week, with our eyes open wide and our hearts ready, we might indeed catch a glimpse of the Spirit at work. And when we do, I challenge you to share it with someone, whether that's at work in your own life or at work on another person's life. Whenever you see the Holy Spirit at work, give thanks and tell somebody. Because, my friends, that is how you fill that spot. And above all else, I pray that that spot will be filled for you this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.